Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Yeah, can I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Wolfing down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolf and Luke.
Man, does this smell good.
It's noon on a Tuesday. It is time for Wolfing Down Your Lunch. Aaron Maloney is here, as always. Aaron?
The Phoenix Suns are back at it tonight as they take on the Timberwolves in Game 2 of their best-of-seven series. So what is the mentality of the team heading into Game 2? Here's Frank Vogel.
Healthy respect for this basketball team that they were playing. We know that they didn't play their best basketball in our three regular season matchups. We saw that, what they're capable of in Game 1. But we're still very confident that we can play better than we did in Game 1. Very confident in the matchup.
So is there an importance of getting off to a fast start? Here's Frank Vogel again.
48 minutes. You know, I mean, whether you start strong, finish strong, we got to win the 48-minute game. You know, obviously, you know, it helps to get off to a strong first quarter, which we did a lot in the regular season. You know, but we're focused on the totality.
What do you expect to see from the Suns in Game 2 tonight? Again, tip-off is at 4:30 right here on 98.7.
But that's a great question, because when you ask it,
you don't know.
I don't even know anymore. Right. I really don't. Like, normally I would have an answer chambered and ready to go. I'm hoping, and I guess I would lean towards, we're going to see the Suns bounce back. I can't guarantee you that means a win, but I think we're going to see them play a better game deeper into the game. But, I mean, in years past, when you ask that question, I'd be like, okay, yeah, I expect this and this and this will happen here. And you kind of have a pretty good read, especially on the local teams, right? This Suns team is like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what to expect tonight.
Yeah, I expect to see a much more even competition tonight from the Phoenix Suns. I think they're on point right now. And when they're on point, they typically play very, very well. So I would expect them to see much more evenly throughout the game in terms of their physicality, their intensity, and their preparedness. That's my expectation.
So our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, what is the main difference you hope to see from the Suns in Game 2 against the Timberwolves? Devin Booker gets going, improved rebounding, don't let Anthony Edwards get hot, or more production from Yusuf Nurkic?
All of them?
Yeah.
I expect to actually see.
The one I would hope to see, I mean, you're right, they're all, I would take any of them. I think Devin Booker getting going is probably the most important, because if he doesn't, I don't know that the other three matter. And if he does, I think, you know, Anthony Edwards is a good player. You can win. You can beat Minnesota with Edwards going off as long as your guys are going off.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Devin Booker gets going.
You know, for me, once again, I'm going to go tip of the spear here. And rebounding, I think, is going to be the tip of the spear as to how physical the Phoenix Suns play tonight. You can't have a 52-28 rebounding disparity the way that they had in Game 1. So I'm looking at rebounding. For me, that is going to be the tip of the physical spear of the Phoenix Suns tonight, and I'll take that.
61% said Devin Booker gets going, 25% improved rebounding, 10% don't let Anthony Edwards get hot, and then 4% more production from Yusuf Nurkic. The Diamondbacks were on the wrong side of a walk-off home run against the Cardinals last night as they fell 5-3. The Cardinals trailed from the top of the second inning until the bottom of the seventh. Your guys' reaction?
It's great that Paul Sewald's close to coming back. How's that for my reaction? I would just like to see some part of this team fully intact. And if Paul Sewald comes back, the bullpen is relatively intact at that
point. Well, on that note, here was D-backs assistant GM Mike Fitzgerald when he joined you guys earlier today. He discussed Paul Sewald and an Alec Thomas update.
He and Alec are probably the two that we're hoping we're going to get at some point. Hopefully, in this next homestand, can get them layered back onto this club and help stem the tide a little bit in some of the areas that that we want to, you know, address and be strengths of ours. Right, the big success of the team last year was the bullpen holding its own and really helping us convert leads into W's at a really high rate. So getting Paul back will be good in that spot, and then hopefully we can get Alec a few days after him layered back into this team and give us a chance to get a little more normalcy in that outfield defense and see where that can kind of help us out as well.
yes.
Oh, so you want me to ask you? Your reaction, Wolf?
You know, honestly, for me right now, wow, I was really encouraged when I heard him say Alec Thomas. I really was. It's been so quiet on the Alec Thomas front, right?
Yeah.
The Alec Thomas front has been very, very quiet. And to actually hear somebody say, hey, yeah, you know what? Looks like we might get him back soon. That really encouraged me, along with Paul Sewald, of course.
The NFL draft is days away, so trade or stay for the Arizona Cardinals. Here's ESPN's Mina Kimes.
Yeah, I've changed my mind on this question, which I think is a really fascinating one, because as you guys know, I'm usually team trade down. I was in agreement with the Cardinals' decision last year to trade with the Texans, but knowing how that worked out, the Texans being better than anyone could have anticipated, and the pick not being as valuable, I still think it was good process. And I don't think it'll be bad process for them to trade down, given all of the needs on their roster and how deep this receiving class and offensive, well, they don't need offensive tackle, but there's other positions that I think they could address. That said, I think they should just stay and take Marvin Harrison Jr. For a number of reasons.
And then this morning, Ian Rappaport had this to say about the Cardinals.
But if they're going to trade, I just don't imagine it would be that far. Like, if they're so close on evaluations, if they say Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers are really close, we're good with either, then they can't go maybe past the Giants at six, right? Because you got to end up with one of those guys if that's the direction you go.
Man, I just honestly
happen?
Right
oh,
now.
Oh, now you're
please,
not going to want to ask a question,
what?
Huh?
No, Mel. I just listening to that right now. These guys just, I don't see them going in with a high pick saying, you know what, I don't care if we get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. We see them the same. You either like one more, or you know what I mean? You like Malik Nabers better, or you like Marvin Harrison Jr. better, or maybe you've got to figure where you could possibly get a guy, but rarely are you going to see multiple players as the same. They have names for a reason, and scouting is about being convicted. You're going to like one of them better than you like the other
one. Well, and normally I would say, yeah, I get that, but if you're trying to weigh things like, would I rather have player A or player B plus additional draft picks, if player B is not that far down my board, it might be worth it. But we're talking about the very top of the draft, and it just, Marvin Harrison Jr. alone is such a, it's not even, he's not like a polarizing figure, but he's drawing comparisons as being the best receiver prospect since Calvin Johnson or Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, that's not somebody that you're like, yeah, we'll just take him or whoever. Who else is up there? So I'm kind of with you on that. It's going to be interesting. We're finally, and I know you love clarity, Wolf. We're finally going to get clarity in about 54 hours. How's that?
What a beautiful thing that is going to be.